This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kanison and Noel Lim. It is 7:36 a.m. Monday the 8th of February, and in about half an hour we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Ben Bland, director of the Southeast Asia program at the Lowy Institute. So he's written a book that details the remarkable story of Joko Widodo's meteoric rise from furniture maker to president of Indonesia in just a few short years. So we're going to be speaking with Ben about Jokowi's positioning as an everyman and how that has faded the further up the political ladder he's climbed. So that's going to be an interesting conversation happening later after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, turning our attention to the future of travel, which may include using vaccine passports to show whether or not you've been vaccinated or tested for COVID-19.
Countries like the US and Denmark are already looking into producing digital vaccine certificates or documents, while the travel and entertainment industries are keen on this. Some experts say it might potentially raise huge political and social issues like discrimination, privilege, and exclusion.
And of course, there's also the thorny issue of data security. So all of these are still outstanding questions that have to be answered before this can be reasonably implemented. And to talk to us more about it as well is Vinup Goyal, Regional Director of Airports and External Relations at the International Air Transport Association, which has also developed a digital travel pass, which Etihad Airways and Emirates will start using in a few weeks. Vinup, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, what can you tell us about this digital travel pass that IATA has developed?
Good morning. Thanks for having us on. So just briefly, the IATA travel pass is basically a digital platform to facilitate the use of testing and vaccination certificates in a verifiable, safe, and privacy-protecting manner. It has four modules: a registry of health requirements across the world, a registry of testing and vaccination centers, an app that the laboratories can use to issue digital certificates, and a contactless travel app for the passenger to maintain his or her identity along with all the medical certificates that this person may have. So in short, the benefits are that the passengers can find information on testing and vaccine requirements and testing centers to get the right tests at the right time. It also enables airlines and border control to verify the passenger information is accurate and the passenger is meeting all the requirements. We are currently developing the modules, and a number of pilots are being worked on with airlines such as Singapore Airlines, Etihad, Emirates, Qatar, Copa. And we also are working with the world's first government, Panama, on this solution.
Besides IATA, industry groups and tech companies are also working on their own version of a vaccine pass. Is that optimal, or should there be one super app by IATA?
The key is to have one standard, regardless of the number of companies providing solutions. So the IATA travel pass is based on open standards, and the way we are designing our modules are so that they are interoperable with solutions that others may be providing. So the key is to have a standard global framework.
And I guess when you look at this, then how are you communicating these different and streamlining the different standards between all the different parties involved here? How do you ensure not just compliance, but that non-IATA members also follow this open standard?
Okay, so that's a very good question. And, you know, we are working with all stakeholders, airlines, whether they're IATA members or whether they're not IATA members. And we are working with governments and other agencies so that they understand the need for a commonly accepted global framework. And we are working with open standards so that these different solutions can talk to each other and work with each other. And so that the passengers and airlines and others have a choice to use the best tool that is available for them.
Now, having a digital vaccine passport also brings up the issue of privacy and data sharing. So what needs to be done to ensure that people's data are protected at this time?
This is a very important issue. And so the way we have designed the IATA travel passes to ensure that data security and privacy are integral to the design. Secondly, this solution is decentralized so that the passenger is in control of their information. There is no central database of test results. It's all with the passenger. And the passenger can choose who to share his or her information with. So in that way, we are trying to ensure the security of the passenger data.
What happens if some countries have not or don't approve of certain vaccines that a passenger has already taken? For example, there may be lesser known vaccines from China that are not yet trialed in some countries. How will IATA address this?
Again, that is an interesting question and something that everyone is concerned about. At the end of the day, it all comes down to mutual trust and acceptability. So, for example, if a country A is looking at accepting passengers from country B, first of all, the country A needs to have confidence in the testing and vaccination regime of the other country. Also, they need to be confident that the testing or vaccination certificates are authentic and can be verified. And I think that's where IATA Travel Pass plays a role. But at the end of the day, it comes down to mutual recognition among countries. And we are working with agencies like ICAO and WHO to ensure there is global harmonization.
And I guess the big question here is then, is this the answer, I guess, to resuscitating the tourism and travel industry globally, which has been, for lack of a better word, just not doing very well?
This is a very important question that we are working with many different agencies. Look, Travel Pass is not the silver bullet. It does facilitate the opening of travel and tourism. But at the end of the day, the first primary issue for governments to consider is the domestic medical response. No one wants to travel to a place where there is a higher risk of getting ill or not getting the right medical care. But once countries have got the virus under control can provide the confidence to travelers, the key is to open borders without quarantine. That can be done with a combination of vaccinations and testing. But vaccinations, again, may take too long because in some countries, they may still require a few more months before a sizable population is vaccinated. So Travel Pass can be a facilitator, but it's not the silver bullet.
Very quickly, so last year, IATA predicted that we'll be back to pre-COVID-19 times in 2024. Does IATA still maintain this prediction in light of vaccine availability?
We're still maintaining that prediction. But yes, of course, with the variants and some of the issues, there is obviously a risk. We are watching this space very closely. But there are encouraging signs in many different locations. And for now, we are maintaining our estimate of 2024.
Vinup, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Vinup Goyal, Regional Director of Airports and External Relations at the International Air Transport Association, talking to us about the formation of digital travel passes and vaccine travel passports, because this is the future that we're looking at, I guess, post-COVID-19. But there are still some issues that are outstanding.
Yes, I think in terms of recovery, IATA is still standing by its prediction that only 2024 we'll start to see a pre-COVID-19 return. But I think there was an article over the weekend by Bloomberg, or was it on Friday, where they say we have to wait for another 7 years before we really, come back to normal times. I think really, as long as we have no herd immunity, you can expect businesses are going to start and stop each time a cluster emerges. And also now there's that variant, right? And can our vaccines, take care of those variants?
Yeah, and I'm just happy to hear that the app that they're building out is essentially an open standard, right? Because that's going to be, you want something that everyone can use that's interoperable. You don't want a situation where, like, e-wallets in Malaysia, right, where you have like 1,700 and you use one wallet here, one wallet there. You want something that essentially works like a credit card system, right, where you can use your MasterCard or your Visa at most checkout points. I know it's a bit of a different analogy here, but essentially you want to have that similar kind of interoperability no matter what kind of app or service the country adopts when it comes to these vaccine passports, because I think, as Noel noted earlier, there are definitely a lot of players that are looking into this outside of just IATA.
Yeah, so standardization of the kind of levels of cooperation between the countries, these are issues that we are seeing countries attempting to tackle now with the green lanes and the travel bubbles being set up. But for that to be implemented on a wider scale is going to be a bit of a different animal. And whether or not this is going to come to pass in widespread implementation within kind of the immediate future is obviously up for a little bit up in the air. No pun intended. And we are going to be watching this space very closely for developments. But right now we are about to head into some messages. And then after that, looking at how effective is the EPFI CINAR scheme. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.